All right, let's turn in our Bibles then to Matthew chapter 26. This is the last Lord's Day of the month, and it is our practice to observe it as a prayer, day of prayer, or a time of prayer, given particularly to prayer. And I think it's good. I hope that we are serious about our praying. Sometimes we're forgetful. Sometimes things get to going too smoothly for us. We forget, kind of take the Lord for granted. And sometimes we get too weary, simply physically, bodily speaking. We get weary, and I don't know whether you've ever, I'm sure you have. Sometimes I'm lying in bed and I'm trying to do some praying, and it's amazing how at other times I'm so wide awake, but when I'm trying to pray, suddenly, I don't know, I somehow get sleepy. Isn't that amazing how that works? But we need prayer, but we need also to simply pray that God will give us the spirit of prayer. Matthew chapter 26, of course, deals with, it's the beginning of the scriptures that deal, in Matthew at least, with the Lord's crucifixion. And we find, first of all, that before the Lord was crucified, he prayed. But let's just do some reading. Verse 26 of chapter 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, 'All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.' Peter answered and said unto him, 'Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended.'" Oh, boastful Peter, right? "Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' Peter saith unto him, 'Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee.' Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, 'Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me.' And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth him asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. How much do we believe the Lord? Peter and all the disciples. Sometimes we're just prone to blame Peter, right? Well, Peter denied him. Peter made all these bragging statements. But Peter wasn't alone in this, was he? All of them said. Isn't that what it says here? And so said they all. They were all the same way. Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And then likewise also said all the disciples. Now, certainly the other disciples did not deny Christ in the same manner or the same fashion that Peter did. We do not find the other disciples being accused of being with Jesus like Peter was and denying it. And three times, as Christ said that he would, he denied him three times, and the third time he denied him with cursing. But all of this happened then, that denial all happened after their Jesus' prayer in that garden there. Now again, all the other disciples, while they did not curse and deny Christ, what did they do? They fled, yes. Like, we don't want to be around this man. Who knows, again, what went through their minds at that particular time. And once again, as we talked about in the service earlier, no point in speculating on that, is it? This we do know, that they were scattered, and they were scattered according to the Scriptures. Now, not that they read the Scriptures themselves and then decided, well, look, we've got to fulfill these Scriptures. This was all spontaneous, if you will. I doubt very seriously at that time if they were thinking very much about the Scriptures themselves. It's evident that what they were thinking about was getting away from that situation, and they left Christ alone. Now, as I've said many times in the past, it is my understanding that this was necessary, as all things are. It's necessary that they forsake Christ that he might stand in this alone. So no man could say He was supported by us, else he couldn't have done it. But no, who stood with him? Nobody but God, and ultimately God himself forsook the Lord Jesus. It's some of the things that we can't comprehend at this time or at this point in our experience, our spiritual and Christian experience, and yet we know that it is true. But my point is this, that Christ knew what was going to happen, didn't he? He knew what they were going to do. He knew explicitly what each one of them was going to do. And here he is. He takes them, first of all, he tells them again what the scripture says, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But you know, here's the question. How closely do we listen to what the Lord says, and how much do we really believe that it will happen just as the Lord says it will? And more especially, how diligent are we in praying that we will not enter into temptation? Or do we take these things for granted? That, you know, well, yesterday was a good day. We didn't have any real problems. Today is going to be the same. And maybe tomorrow will be the same. Isn't it strange, though, how that necessity being laid upon us, how easy it is to pray? But unless we feel that necessity, we don't have too much inclination toward prayer. If we do, it's not that fervent, effectual prayer that James speaks about in his writings. Too many times, unless necessity is laid upon us, our prayers are just recitals. And here is an occasion, you see, where if there ever was a time when they should have been praying, and when they should have been excited to prayer, they were not. Did they really believe that Jesus was about to be crucified? Did they really understand? And really the answer is no. They did not really and truly understand this thing about the crucifixion of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection until after he was crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected. Up till that point, it's all like theory. But after this, when Judas comes and betrays him, and when they take him away, and he is being questioned, interrogated by these people, and then when they deliver him into the hands of those Roman soldiers, and they begin to nail him to that tree, I think it becomes a reality to them. But up until that point, they did not fully believe Jesus because there's no question at all, this is not speculation, but there's no question at all that had they understood the words of Christ, they would have been excited to pray. And especially that they enter not into temptation. Well, what has all that got to do with us today? Well, I believe it has a lot to do with us. We've been studying, first of all, the life of Jacob. Secondly, recently, we've been studying about the signs of the end of the world. The question is, just as it is here, do we really believe the Lord? Do we really believe that we're going to need every day of our lives, the rest of our life, the guidance of God that we hear from God as Jacob heard from God, and Jacob was obedient to that word? Well, and as I believe especially as it pertains to these things of the end, it's like we talked about before the sermon today, this morning. Do we really believe what we were saying there? And the question is, does it excite us to prayer? Now turn back with me to Matthew 24. In Matthew 26, just before the crucifixion of Christ, what was his instructions to the disciples? Said watch, wasn't it? Watch ye. Well, let's read in Matthew 24, in verse 42. What does it say? Watch therefore. Same admonition, isn't it? Is it any different? I don't see any difference in it at all. And I believe with all my heart that the circumstances, the conditions surrounding the second coming of Christ is going to be a great temptation. Just as these disciples fell into that temptation to be asleep, to sleep. And we're going to see that, are we not? Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now what is he talking about? He's simply saying that the good man, if he had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have been awake and knew when he came. But because he didn't know, he was asleep, and the thief caught him unawares. Therefore, he says, be ye also ready, for ye For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, when his Lord, whom his Lord, I'm going to get to where I can read sooner or later. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the admonition of our Lord is watch, right? Watch. And what is the essence of that watching? Well, it has to be prayer. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Why do we need to pray that we enter not into temptation concerning the second coming of Christ? Well, because there's going to be false what? False Christ. There's going to be false apostles. There's going to be all these false prophets. Christ. And they're going to show great signs and wonders in that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. Now I wonder, and I hope this is not true of us, but I really wonder how many people that read this in their hearts and minds are saying, Oh, that couldn't happen to me. And are not really serious about this thing of the second coming of Christ. But here we are. And the signs of it are all around us. In multitudes of ways. Are we serious about the coming of the Lord in glory and in judgment? Oh, I'm fine. I don't need to worry about any of that. Don't need to be concerned about any of that. I know it's coming. Isn't that good enough? Well, the disciples knew that the crucifixion of Christ was coming. But evidently, at that particular time, they weren't that concerned about it. And certainly, they weren't concerned about their own responsibilities in it. So I hope, I trust that we will be aware that the second coming of Christ will excite us to prayer, that indeed we might be saved in the day of His appearing and not be ashamed at His coming. So with these thoughts in mind, let's bow and our heads and go to the Lord in prayer.